got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Our broadcast week. So we are going to be strong. We're going to finish the week, our 3-day work week, on a high note. We got a lot of stuff to get to, including some kind of breaking news just coming in. Let's get to the big lead.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is the big lead.
Okay, so the breaking news, kind of, happened about an hour and a half ago. But President Trump was on the front lawn of the White House just answering a variety of questions. So we, you're going to hear this audio at the same time as me because Nicole has just been listening to it and cutting it all up. Before I get to the stuff from the front lawn of the White House, a little bit earlier today, he also was fielding questions in the Oval Office. And they asked him about the four freshman congresswomen. And then there's something really funny at the end of the soundbite. It gets cut off. We got it from Mediaite.com. And I wish it hadn't gotten cut off when it did, but you'll hear that in just a second. But anyway, so yesterday the president said he disagreed with the send her back chants at the Wednesday night rally. Today, he did another little flip-flop.
I'm unhappy with the fact that a congresswoman, in this case, a different congresswoman, can call our country and our people garbage. That's what I'm unhappy with. Those people in North Carolina, that stadium was packed. It was a record crowd, and I could have filled it 10 times, as you know. Those are incredible people. Those are incredible patriots. But I'm unhappy when a congresswoman goes and said, I'm going to be the president's nightmare. She's going to be the president's nightmare. She's lucky to be where she is, let me tell you. And the things that she has said are a disgrace to our country. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, so then it seemed like he was wrapping up this little impromptu press event. He said, thank you very much, everybody. But then somebody asked him another question, and his answer got cut off, and I'm disappointed.
An update on this ASAP Rocky case. ASAP Rocky is a situation in Sweden.
And then it got cut off there. But I'm happy to fill in the blank because President Trump just tweeted about rapper ASAP Rocky. It's just so surreal. He just tweeted, just spoke to Kanye West about his friend ASAP Rocky's incarceration. I will be calling the very talented Prime Minister of Sweden to see what we can do about helping ASAP Rocky. So many people would like to see this quickly resolved.
Talk about friends in high places helping you out.
What? I don't even know.
Wow.
What did ASAP Rocky allegedly do in Sweden?
He got in a fight. But supposedly he was trying to break it up, and he didn't want a part of the fight, but he got involved in a fight and something like that. I don't know.
So ASAP Rocky's in trouble in Sweden. Kanye West is calling the president of the United States, who's going to call the very talented prime minister of Sweden to help ASAP Rocky. This is really strange. We're in very, very bizarre times. Okay, so that was all a little bit earlier today. Now let's take you to this press event on the South Lawn of the White House. And again, it came up about the squad, which is what they call the four freshman congresswomen.
I don't know if it's good or bad politically. I don't care. But when people are speaking so badly, when they call our country garbage, think of that. That's worse than deplorable. When they call our country garbage, I don't care about politics. I don't care if it's good or bad about politics.
Many people say it's good. I don't know if it's good or bad. I can tell you this. You can't talk that way about our country. Not when I'm the president. So I think they've said horrible things. They're anti-Semitic. And you look at the kind of statements they've made about Israel, it's a disgrace.
He's right. For, I mean, they are. At least Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib, they're raging anti-Semite racists. There's no question about that. And Trump said something interesting there. He brought up deplorables. So when some of his supporters at a rally chant, send her back, or even when he tweets it, that becomes the biggest outrage in the world. When Hillary called 100 million Americans deplorables, which means unredeemable, unforgivable, because they disagreed with her politically. Where was the outrage? There was none. I mean, Trump targets who he targets because he, you know, perceives them. It's not because of their skin color or their religion. It's because, I mean, look, he went after John McCain viciously. He went after Jeb Bush viciously because they were political opponents. But the, you know, the common thread is what AOC and Omar and Tlaib and Presley, whoever that is, what they've said about America does sound like they hate the country. So he says nasty stuff about that. It's not the outrage that everybody's pretending that it is. And he said they can say their nasty things about the country, and he can say his things about them.
Yeah, they have First Amendment rights, but that doesn't mean I'm happy about them saying. And when they say bad things about us, we can certainly feel, and again, we have First Amendment rights also, we can certainly feel what and say what we want.
Yeah. And by the way, you know what it reminds me of when he said in the tweet, send them back? Remember what he said on the Dory Monson show about Colin Kaepernick when he was sitting for the anthem?
Maybe he should find a country that works better for him. Let him try. It won't happen.
I mean, he said basically the same thing on my show when he was campaigning that he said that he says now. So, okay, let's see what else we got in the audio we're just getting in. He asked this.
Why is it okay for you to criticize America but not Democratic Congress?
I believe all people are great people. I believe everyone is great. But I love our country, and I'm representing our country. And people can't go around speaking about our country and saying garbage. This is the greatest country in the world. We now have the strongest military by far. We had a depleted military when I took over. We spent $716 billion last year, $700 billion a year before. We have a great, powerful military, more powerful than we've ever had before. We have the greatest economy on earth, not even close. You can't speak about our country the way those four congressmen, they said garbage. They say things about Israel that's so bad, I'm not even going to repeat them right now. They can't get away with that act, not the right.
Well, yeah, I mean, they can, because they do have First Amendment rights, and they can say whatever they want about the country and about Israel. But he can criticize them for it. But here's where, and this is the part of him I can't ever quite figure out. Because I think all of this is working for Trump. I really do. When he sent out the tweet, you know, go back to the garbage countries they came from that have dysfunctional governments or whatever the tweet said. So then all of the Democratic presidential candidates, they had to race to embrace the squad. And most of America thinks the squad is radically out of touch with American values. And so now all of these Democratic presidential candidates are aligned with four radical leftists. And that works for Trump. Now, the question is that carefully calculated by Trump? Is there, I mean, him winning the presidency is the most improbable thing in political history. But there was something either calculated or instinctual that won him the presidency. And so when he does stuff like this, I don't know if it's calculated or instinctual, but I guarantee that in the long game, I know for 72 hours, the CNN and MSNBC, they're going to talk about how racist he is. And just like they've tried everything to tear him apart. But in the long game, this works. And the only question is it calculated or is it some bizarre instinctual thing that the guy's got? But the Democrats embracing these radical leftists is not good for them. Not at all. Okay, up next in the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
Oh, back in the 90s, when Kramer borrowed a coughing dog, it was all fun and games, wasn't it?
What's with the dog?
Yeah, this is Smucker's.
I borrowed him. Yeah, we share the same affliction. So I'm going to have a vet check us out.
A vet?
Oh, I'll take a vet over an MD any day. They got to be able to cure a lizard, a chicken, a pig, a frog, all on the same day.
So if I may jump ahead, you going to take dog medicine?
You bet we are. How smart is that?
So then Kramer got pills for Smuckers.
What kind of pills are these anyway? For Smuckers? May cause panting and loss of fur? These are dog pills.
We had the same symptoms.
But he's a dog. You need to see a real doctor.
No doctors.
Well, now real life has imitated art. Because as our Carolyn Osorio found out, and this is actually a very serious subject, there are people who are breaking in, a lot of addicts who are looking for a fix are breaking into veterinary clinics and 24-hour hospitals all around this region?
Yeah, so I talked to a woman who basically came forward because she'd heard of two recent vet robberies in Maple Valley. And she's like, hey, this is going on everywhere. That she has worked in the industry for over 15 years, from north down south to Lacey. And it's just gotten to the point where she's fearful, not for her life, because mostly these robberies, they just want to go in and steal the drugs. But as a key holder, because she's a vet tech, she's the first point of contact for them.
Yeah, and she told Carolyn that a lot of these vets have the same meds that hospitals have.
I mean, we use everything in veterinary medicine that you would use in human medicine and then some. So for pain control, we're using drugs like fentanyl, hydromorphone, codeine, tramadol, oxymorphone. I mean, it's a very wide variety of different medications that we have access to.
And she said that these vets are easy targets for the addicts.
In any of these hospitals, yes, these drugs are, in theory, locked up in a safe, but these safes, they're not hard to break into. It's a safe. So me being the licensed technician, I'm the one who has access to a lot of those controlled substances. So if someone comes into the building, I'm going to be the person that they're looking for to get into these, into the safe. And so that was my kind of biggest concern, is that I just generally speaking did not feel safe working where I was working on Capitol Hill, having access to these drugs, with the potential of, anyone just being able to wander into the building.
Yeah, because when you think about it, a lot of these addicts, they break into homes so that they can steal stuff that they then have to fence for pennies on the dollar, and then they have to take that money to go buy the drugs on the streets. And this is a way for them to just have one-stop shopping for crime, it sounds like.
Well, it does, and there were some reservations about this woman coming forward because she didn't want to be an even larger target put on vets. But basically, drug addicts, I talked to Sergeant Ryan Abbott with King County, and he said, pharmacies and vets, drug addicts know any places that have drugs are going to be soft targets. And so this is ramping up, across the region as we have this drug epidemic going on.
So that's one aspect of the story. And then the other really sad part is she was talking about what people do to their animals to try to get the drugs, without having to break in.
Yeah, this was a new one for me. I'd never, ever heard. And we hear a lot of stories here at the newsroom. And to find out that people would actually purposely hurt their animals to get drugs is a sad state of affairs.
Here's what the source told Carolyn.
We occasionally have clients, I guess that's what you can call them, who will potentially, intentionally injure their pet to try to gain prescriptions for controlled substances.
And then she had one particularly sad story.
So he didn't have any money to do anything with the dog and kept just requesting pain medications over and over and over again. And so ultimately, the veterinarian had to kind of comply and do what we could for this dog. The dog presented to us about 3 days later as a dead on arrival. Unfortunately, it had passed away. And then later that afternoon, the pharmacy contacted us to fill the prescriptions or to get a refill of the pain control that had been prescribed a couple days earlier. So it was pretty clear to us that this man had been, instead of giving the pain medications to his dog that had just been hit by a car, he was taking them himself. And now that his dog was dead, was now trying to have them refilled.
Now, I know that for humans who have chronic pain problems, they have to be on, you know, you have to sign documents every 3 months, and it's getting very tough to receive opioids. Are there any of the same restrictions for these pet owners?
Well, to my knowledge, you know, it's up to the veterinarian, and they have to comply if they see a sick animal, you know, as was the case with the cut you just played there. You know, they were like, we know that this is, because the person kept asking for the drugs. That was more important to them than the dog seemingly was that had been hit by a car. And so, you know, they said that they had to comply. So to my knowledge, you know, if their patient comes in and they say that it's suffering, you know, they have to comply. Now, whether or not there are rules, I don't think so. That's the thing about this story, is that it's really, you know, because animals can't talk, obviously,
yeah.
You know, it's really hard to prove. You know, I talked to the King County animal the vet or the
animal,
what is that
control
called? Animal control,
yes.
Thank you. And they said they didn't have any, you know, reports of this, but it's all anecdotal because you can't prove it. And so, you know, that's one of the really sad, you know, pieces to the story, that if the animal is being abused, there's no way to prove it.
Yeah. Well, it's just another example of how the drug epidemic's just hitting in places we never even dreamed of a few years ago. All right. Good stuff, Carolyn. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dory.
Carolyn Osorio with that report. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Bizarro World.
Hey, you know my good close friend, biggest movie star in the world, Chris Pratt?
One of the top grossing movie stars in the world, Chris Pratt, is your 12th man.
Come on.
Flag
Thanks,
racer.
Dorio. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you're welcome, Chris. So, Chris Pratt, he's gotten viciously attacked because he was wearing what's called a Gadsden flag shirt, which has the serpent and says, "Don't tread on me." And there were people who were claiming that some white supremacist T-shirt. It turns out the T-shirt that Chris Pratt's been wearing benefits the pro-America nonprofit Brain Treatment Foundation because there were some idiots online who said that it had some white supremacist connections. The Brain Treatment Foundation got more than 5,000 notes via social media telling them that they're white supremacists and that they're a horrible organization. And it was all done for the best of reasons. And Chris Pratt, I guess because he, you know, is open about his Christianity, his faith, about his love of the country, there are a lot of people who seem to hate him. And that's the only reason, because he's a pro-America Christian. But he was just doing a good thing. And again, the internet twisted something. I know that's hard to believe. And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
So let's go to check the news. And then on this Friday, our favorite sound bites of the entire week coming up next.
This hour of the Dory Mom.
Okay, before we get to our awesome audio. So you just saw a graphic on television, Ursula, and you asked, what media is slamming the moon landing?
Yeah, it's just infuriating.
This is from the official Twitter account from the New York Times. The Apollo program was designed by men for men. If we do not acknowledge the gender bias of the early space program, it becomes difficult to move past it. What does that even mean?
At the time,
the New York
it was
Times.
The, yeah, at the time, 50 years ago, I mean, there weren't that many women in the space program. That has certainly changed.
And by the way, there were a lot. Didn't the Seattle Times do a series
yes.
on local women who were writing code by hand for this Apollo mission? And why didn't the New York Times, you know, pick up on that? But instead, they just send out, in an attempt to be woke, these leftist organizations are just insane.
Or can we just say this one person who wrote that tweet for the
That's
New York Times?
From the official New York
Times.
And they've left
it supported,
up.
Or yeah. that person was supported.
Yeah, there isn't
the
somebody. There isn't somebody who pulled it. And I don't even know what that means. If we do not acknowledge the gender bias of the early space program, it becomes difficult to move past it. That is a meaningless, that's like a word salad. We'll just spit out a bunch of words so we can sound like we're woke. Instead, you just sound like idiots. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
I don't know how many of these I'm going to get to. We won't do the 3-2-1 here, but because I don't know how much of this I'm going to play again. But I played this in the Fast 15 at 1 o'clock. If you want to go listen to it in our podcast, because a lot of people really enjoyed our full treatment of it, but the CNN NCAA tournament debate draw for the Democratic debate coming up, it might have been the stupidest television ever last night.
We're down to the final draw. We've been grouping the candidates based on recent polling. These are some of the biggest names in the Democratic race. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren are moments away from finding out when they will be debating. And this round will go a long way in determining the dynamics of the two debates.
Oh, my Lord. And then they mixed up the names on playing cards and put them in a box.
Again, I'm going to give these a good mix. It's final four chosen because of the polling position currently. And a reminder, for full transparency, you can watch the camera above me overhead.
What does that mean? Full transparency. You can watch the camera. Oh, yeah, so CNN doesn't engage in any chicanery to see which candidate debates on which night. It's just insane. But go back and listen to our 1 o'clock hour podcast because I think you'll really enjoy it. Speaking of Democratic debate candidates, also this I love Howard Stern's radio show, but, man, did he come across sounding dumb when he talked about Jay Inslee this week?
I got into this guy, Governor Jay Inslee. I saw him on TV, and he was really well-spoken. His record, I don't know where he's even governor, but one of those states you don't care about. And he did a really good job, and he's on top of the environmental issue, equal pay.
Is he the dude from Washington?
Yeah, I don't know where he's from, but he's into a public option, but he's well-spoken and kind of upbeat, and his whole...
Sounds like a good reason to make him president. And finally, with the 50th anniversary of the moon landing this weekend, Buzz Aldrin talked about how precarious it was.
At about 100 feet, there's a light that comes on us, a fuel quantity light. And about that time, the capsule communicator, Charlie Duke, says...
60 seconds.
He said they only had 15 seconds of fuel left.
Okay, 100 feet, 60 seconds. We better ease down.
That's how scary this was 50 years ago this weekend. Our favorite audio of the week, today's sign is next.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week on 97.3 Cairo FM.
And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. I got to tell you, I like these three-day work weeks. And I only work 3 hours a day, you know. So I get put 9 hours on my timesheet for this week. I could get used to that, man. Okay, but I'm not done yet. We still have more to do before we head into the weekend as we present today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start down in Florida, where the police need your help. Now, I know this is radio, and they are trying to get your help from this video, but maybe the description alone will be enough for you to lend aid.
Have you seen this man in Pasco County? He'd be...
By the way, this, they didn't slow down the audio. There's a news anchor in Florida. He sounds like he's on Valium here. Anyway, let's get back to the story. It's an important one.
Have you seen this man in Pasco County? He'd be pretty hard to miss. A naked Florida man wearing nothing but a woman's bra, a hat, and sneakers, accused of burglarizing several cars in Newport Richey. We have the video here on WFLA Now.
So he's got sneakers, he's got a bra, he's got a hat. Yeah, there's one essential that's missing there. Investigators released the video hoping that somebody would recognize him. So if you know of somebody who runs around in a hat, sneakers, and bra and nothing else, please contact the Newport Richey Police Toot Suite. Today's science story number two. A 77-year-old inmate who had murdered his wife. He stabbed her 14 times in front of their daughter back in 1979. He served 25 years behind bars. Then in 2004, he got sent back to jail. In 2010. He got released in 2004. He got sent back to jail in 2010 for an assault case in Portland where he assaulted a woman. And that was a violation of his parole. But 4 years later, after going back to prison again, prison officials released Albert Flick again because they said he was too old to be considered a threat to society. Well, he's going back to prison because he stabbed another woman to death, a 48-year-old homeless mother in front of her children in broad daylight. He apparently had been stalking her for days. So the guy that they released from prison because he was too old to be a threat to society came out and killed again. And this is like the revolving door of justice that we have here in the Puget Sound area, where they will come up with some tortured reason to let some criminals out, and then they reoffend. Criminals commit crimes. Okay, next time. I'm going to try to get four stories in here. Up in Vancouver, BC, a human rights tribunal hearing started going nuts yesterday. And that's because a man who thinks he's a woman, so the politically correct thing is a transgender woman, I guess. But I don't think that's that relevant to this story, because he went into a spa salon where they do Brazilian waxes for women. And the owner of the business said, no, you have male genitalia, and we only do women here, and we aren't trained. We don't even know how to do this kind of treatment on a man. Well, at the Human Rights Tribunal hearing yesterday, the lawyer for the business owner said, this is ridiculous to try to force my client, who only does these treatments for women, has no training how to even do that for a man. And then the guy who thinks he's a woman, he started calling the business owner a neo-Nazi because she wouldn't give him a Brazilian wax, which I did not know that was one of the Nazi tactics. But given how crazy these human rights commissions are, and we've certainly seen a lot of craziness here in the Puget Sound area and in Washington State, I bet they're going to find against the spa owner. Her name's Marcia Da Silva. She said she just wasn't comfortable doing this on someone with male genitalia. She didn't have training for it, and she didn't think she should be forced to perform intimate services against her will. The guy who wanted the Brazilian wax, of course, described himself as an LGBTQ activist who is fighting against discrimination by these salons. Yeah, I'm sure he really cared about that Brazilian wax. We'll keep you posted on that one. And then finally in today's sign,
I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive.
Five guys got into a fist fight. All five guys were arrested. The fist fight occurred at a Five Guys Burger and Fry restaurant. Happened at 12:30 in the afternoon a couple of days ago. Also down in Florida. All of these things happen in Florida, man. Naked car burglars wearing bras and hats. Five guys fighting at a Five Guys. All of that is today's sign. The end is near. Even though we had a shortened week after getting back from vacation, I want to thank you again because I mentioned this on Wednesday. After a marvelous, wonderful vacation with friends and family and listeners, I wanted to come back to work because I love my job so much. I was fired up. I was energized. And I tell you what, we got some fights ahead of us, you and me. They want to toll every single road in Washington. They want to add tolling to all of downtown Seattle. And the door is open more than a crack now for city and state income taxes here in Washington. And since everybody else is a wimp on all of these issues, you and I are going to have to band together and stand strong and keep these disasters from happening, because the middle class is the target of all of these things. Because as State Senator O'Ban told me yesterday, the middle class is where the money is, and all this is about is money. Democrats are not about solving problems. They're not about getting addicts off of drugs. They're not about getting homeless off the streets. They're not about reducing congestion. Their only measure of success is how much money they can take from your and my families. Results do not matter. You get it. I get it. We got to stand strong together against all the nonsense that's coming in the months and years to come. Okay, I've said everything that I have to say for this week. But I'll go home, lollygag about this weekend, and think up a bunch of great stuff for Monday's show. We got a big announcement. I know we've had a lot of big announcements lately. I got a big announcement on Monday's show. Have a great weekend. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I'll see you back here Monday, high noon. Hello.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.
See you next time.